Have you always felt welcome at church? Do you recall a time in life when you did not feel welcome at church? Do you remember the reason why you did not feel welcome at church? And do these memories today, as a result of not having the opportunity to feel and experience an extravagant welcome, still haunt you today? And as a result of these traumatizing experiences, did you begin to become distant from both God and the church? There are many barriers which prevent people from coming to God and experiencing Jesus. Moments ago, we heard the story of Jesus healing the paralyzed person. As you heard this story, were you able to identify the one barrier which made it difficult for the paralyzed person to come to Jesus? How many of you, as you listened to the scripture, were able to identify that barrier? Guess a little bit of a shy crowd today. The crowd of people was the barrier that happened to stand in the way, which prevented the paralyzed person from coming to Jesus. The crowd stood in the way, which prevented the paralyzed person from coming to Jesus. Now, I want to share the first of two stories with you this morning. And as you listen to these stories, I want you to see if you can identify the barriers that might have prevented me from coming to God and the church. I wish I could tell you that I had fond memories of growing up in my church youth group, but unfortunately, that was not the case. During Sunday school, I would often observe my peers having sidebar conversations with one another. And as a result of these sidebar conversations, I would take an authoritative approach to life. So my maturity level at that time was here, and my peers were here. I was one of those kids that wanted to really take something away from what was being taught in Sunday school. And I would often find myself, as a result of these sidebar conversations and the parents who graciously volunteered their time to teach youth Sunday school, that they would not do anything about it to correct the problem. And so I would often find myself storming out of the youth room week in and week out. And I remember being called into the pastor's office at that time, and I was not expecting to hear the words that I heard. The words that I heard were this, and I was asked by the pastor to refrain from participating in any youth group activity in and outside of the church until I got my temper under control. Until I got my temper under control. As you can imagine, after being dealt a blow like this, I became distant from God and the church. I began to contemplate and wrestle with the question if there was a place for God and the church in my life. Yesterday afternoon, I had the opportunity to meet with several members of your wonderful congregation, the Called to Care, Congregational Life, Building and Grounds, and Worship, Music, and Arts. During our time together, we discussed and reviewed the church building and program accessibility audit. Part of what came up during that discussion were things to think about accessibility and being inclusive of all people with different abilities. The friends who brought the paralyzed person on a bed to Jesus tried to manipulate the crowd. The friends were unable to manipulate the crowd, so they had to get creative by removing the roof in order to lower the paralyzed person to Jesus. Are you able to identify barriers not only in the sanctuary, but around the church campus that may prevent your members, friends, and first-time visitors from fully coming to and experiencing God in the church? As you listen to this story that I'm about to share with you, I ask that you pay attention to the barrier that my peers were facing when dealing with a person who had been diagnosed with a hidden brain-based different ability. I recall meeting God for the very first time when I attended the Southwest Conference United Church of Christ Junior High Church Camp at Mingus Mountain in Prescott, Arizona, more than 18 and a half years ago. It will be 19 years this coming July. At that particular time in my life, I recall that my parents were in the process of ending their marriage, going through the process of getting divorced. I also had a difficult time trying to comprehend why I was having such a difficult time meeting new people and making new friends. I struggled to understand as to why my fellow campers were laughing at me instead of laughing with me. As the week progressed, I was experiencing a great deal of loneliness, which led me to question whether or not I would return home with any new friends from camp. Towards the end of each day, the entire camp would gather in a secluded space for a short Vespers service. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the term Vespers, Vespers is a short little worship or prayer service. On this particular night, as I waited for the family group to begin the nightly Vespers service, my eyes were closed while I was listening to the meditative music that was playing in the background. As I was listening to the music, I then found myself contemplating and wrestling with the question if life was worth living. The next thing I remember hearing was a voice, and this voice spoke the following words to me: "Michael, this is not your time yet. You do not want to do this. You have a purpose and call in this life. It just may take you longer to find and fulfill that purpose and call in your life, but you will find it." As you listen to the story, did you have a difficult time identifying the barrier that stood in the way of my fellow campers as they chose to think of me as a foe rather than a friend? It was interesting, as I was preparing my sermon and studying this scripture, our own attitudes, our own beliefs might stand in the way of seeing those who are differently abled and allowing them to reach their full potential and finding ways that we as a church can move them to be more than just a body in the pew and find ways for them to be involved in the overall ministry of this congregation. I often struggle with the idea of social norms as people with different abilities live on the margins of society. And drawing from my own experience, I find myself living on the margins of society each and every day. At the age of 10, I was diagnosed with a high-functioning form of autism called Asperger's syndrome. I recall that I did not learn about my different ability until I reached the age of 17, when I overheard someone talking on the phone. There are many signs and symptoms that are associated with Asperger's syndrome, and over the years, I have struggled to overcome these four particular symptoms. It has been difficult for me to socialize and communicate with people my own age because I can be very shy at times. It has been difficult for me to tell whether people are laughing with me or at me. It has been difficult for me to cope with change in my daily routine. And it has been difficult for me to overcome the sensitivity to loud noises such as fire alarms. I also struggle with bouts of heightened anxiety and depression. Prior to receiving the news that I was being called to serve as the conference lay minister for disability education, advocacy, and awareness, in November 2018, I was asked to represent the conference at the United Church of Christ Widening the Welcome National Gathering in Niagara Falls, New York. One of the workshops that I attended and participated in was facilitated by a 25-year-old woman with an intellectual different ability and her mother. Usually when I preach, I usually say at the beginning, pay attention to the language that I use now and then the language that I use later on, as I hope it will all make sense. Notice here that I did not use the term disability or disabled. When you refer to another human as a person with a disability or being disabled, it not only labels them, but it puts them into a category that no one wants to be a part of. Have you ever placed a label upon yourself or someone else? If so, how did it make you feel when you placed that label upon yourself? But more importantly, how did it make you feel when you placed that label upon somebody else without them knowing? Do you realize that it could potentially change who they are as a person for the rest of their lives? The young woman shared her experience of what it was like for her growing up in the United Church of Christ. She shared that she is still struggling to find her place and voice in the church, so that she may be able to be fully present as she experiences the presence of God and the light of God in her life. At the conclusion of her presentation, she asked those in attendance to think about how our individual congregations would answer the following questions. What makes your church a welcoming, safe, and inclusive place for your differently abled members and friends? What makes your church a welcoming, safe, and inclusive place for your differently abled members and friends? What does your church do that may turn your differently abled members and friends away from God and the church? What turns your differently abled members, friends away from God and the church? Do you want to minister with your differently abled members and friends, but you're not sure how to? Do you want to minister with your differently abled members and friends, but you're not sure how to? Where is your church presently in the process as you work towards becoming a welcoming, safe, accessible, an inclusive place for your differently abled members and friends? And how do you get to that next stage? The important question is, how do you move your church to the next stage? Do you throw your differently abled members and friends a pity party? Do you completely ignore the differently abled members, friends, and first-time visitors who come during the week or to worship on Sunday mornings? Does your church make an effort to build friendships and relationships with your differently abled members and friends inside and outside of the church? Our Still Speaking God calls us to celebrate and affirm the uniqueness of every person as we pave the way to be the church that lives on the cutting edge of both life and faith. Let us respond to God's call to break down the barriers that stand in the way of our differently abled members, friends, and first-time visitors, as they discover that we are all of God's differently abled and beloved children, and all of God's people say, Amen.